640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile.
I'm Stacey Lynn. It's one of the worst mass casualty events in Gaza since the October 7th Hamas attack. As many as 100 people were killed in an Israeli airstrike on a school. CBS's Raimi Innocencio is in Tel Aviv.
Gaza's emergency services said Israel's military dropped 3 2,000-pound bombs on the Al-Tabin school and mosque complex in eastern Gaza City, while displaced people who had fled there for shelter were holding early morning prayers.
The race for the White House is on, with both campaigns out on the trail. While Vice President Harris spoke in Arizona yesterday,
former President Donald Trump on the stump in Bozeman, Montana. The issue of immigration and the southern border, top of mind for both campaigns.
She wants to allow millions of people to pour into our border through an invasion.
The former president has proposed what he says would be the largest deportation operation in U.S. history.
CBS's Natalie Brand. Debbie is still bringing heavy rain, high winds, and flash floods to part of the Northeast. CBS's Tom Hansen is in Newark, New Jersey.
4 inches of rain in 4 hours led to a sudden and dire situation in western New York. Overloaded creeks and streams caused flash flooding as high as 11 feet in some areas. Hundreds of panicked residents trapped in their homes or vehicles called 911.
The storms also caused travel headaches at some airports. Jeremy Durbin's flight was canceled.
We need help. They need to have a better fix than to hand somebody a business card with a QR code.
No one survived a plane crash in Brazil yesterday. CBS's Chris Van Cleve with the latest.
The airliner's final moments, dropping thousands of feet in just seconds, falling out of the sky over a residential neighborhood outside Sao Paulo, Brazil.
It was a stall. I think we can pretty much safely assume that.
Former NTSB chair Robert Sumwalt is also a retired 737 captain.
And you can see the airplane spiraling. That looks to me like a flat spin. What caused the speed to get so low to where the airplane would stall, that remains to be seen.
And they'll look to the recovered black box for some answers. Another blow to President Biden's student loan relief program. CBS's Linda Kenyon with the details.
A federal appeals court has extended an order blocking the Biden administration from further implementing its latest loan forgiveness program. The injunction was requested by 7 Republican-led states that argued the Education Department exceeded its legal authority by enacting the so-called SAVE plan in the first place.
And SAVE was launched right after the Supreme Court knocked down Biden's one-time loan forgiveness plan. This is CBS.
Switch to T-Mobile and save with tons of benefits on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Kamala Harris's rapid rise is raising new questions about how future presidential campaigns might be run. Mike Mohn reports.
Analysts say Harris was able to quickly garner party support after President Joe Biden opted not to accept the Democratic nomination. Hamline University political scientist David Schultz says in the past half century, these campaigns have typically unfolded after the midterms, but he wonders if a new mindset will take over.
And if she were to win, this changes the strategy where people might say, well, gosh, I don't have to declare 2 years in advance and go through all those battles.
Schultz says another domino that would need to fall is getting the states aligned with their presidential primaries and having most of them held in late spring and early summer. In its polling from 2016, 2020, and this year, the Pew Research Center says a majority of respondents felt election coverage fatigue in the latter stages of the presidential race. Schultz suggests shorter presidential campaigns could also open the door to renewed interest in the party conventions.
We have forgotten about the fact that for so much of American history, we didn't know the presidential nominee until the convention.
And while shorter campaign cycles might resonate with voters, some experts say it will be hard to overhaul the marathon approach to seeking the White House because of the money needed to carry out a successful bid. This is Mike Mohn for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today, highs in the mid-70s, mostly clear tonight, a low around 58. Sunny with a high in the upper 70s on Sunday. 61 Sunday night, partly sunny, 78 the high for Monday. For Tuesday, sunshine with highs near 80 degrees.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Tune into the next show. It's Motown Monday. We'll react to the news from the weekend and talk about the issues impacting us all. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. The Shaw, WAUK.
August 10th, 2024. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's still time for This Week in Waukesha, Hour 2. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown. I'm joined by the mighty Max Martinson on the board. And we're coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in the WAUK studios in downtown, right around the corner from Theodora Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And, of course, even prouder to recognize that because we've got a big election coming up. But first, we've got a call, and I think it's our first call from the farmer's market. Is that Johnny?
Good morning, Don. How are you?
Great, Johnny. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. I just wanted to give you a quick check-in down here at the beautiful farmer's market in downtown Waukesha. We have everything here this morning. Carrots, rhubarb, cabbage. Oh, I mean, everything is just so fresh, and it's in. We've got great vendors here this morning, Don, right next to the Waukesha State Bank. The corn is in. We've got bread bakery guys, pot pies. We have another Jen's Sweet Mix. I mean, it's just all over the place. We're having such a beautiful morning down here right next to the Fox River in beautiful downtown Waukesha.
Sounds great. Hey, Johnny.
Thank you, Don.
Thanks for checking in, Johnny. We look forward to seeing you in the second half of this hour and getting another update on the farmer's market, which looks like a perfect day to be there. So, but my guests in this second hour, we're honored to have on, is Mr. Roger Kaplinger, who many of you are familiar with that name because of his time as medical director of the Milwaukee Brewers. And Roger's here to share his story about his battle with cancer, which we're obviously overjoyed to say that he had won, but also the work he continues to do, his advocacy and the help with raising funds and awareness. And how are you today, Roger?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Terrific. We can hear him okay, Max? All right. Sounds good. Well, I guess where would you like to start?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we was the medical director for the Brewers for a long time, head athletic trainer, been with the Brewers for 33 years, and, you know, just like everyone else, I think seemingly life goes on every day, go to work, you know, do your thing. And then, you know, you don't feel right. Something's going on. You know, in our business, in the Brewers and the medical staff, we have a motto that every day counts. You know, we play 162 games in 181 days. And you know, having the availability to play every day is paramount in our game. And so, you know, personally, it didn't feel good for a few days. Talked to my personal physician, Dr. Mark Niedfeld.
And how long ago was that again?
That was in fall of 17.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, we ran some tests, and those tests, you know, were like, man, your liver function tests are a little high, and let's wait a few days. And it still wasn't right. We did some more testing, and we decided to get some diagnostic imaging, and that showed a tumor on the head of my pancreas.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Can I ask, like, what stage did they determine that tumor was at?
Yeah, that was stage one. So I feel very fortunate that, you know, there's a lot of pancreas cancer patients or that get diagnosed later. And that's something that, you know, myself and the Sina Magowitz Foundation, in which we partnered with them and the Medical College of Wisconsin to try to develop, you know, research, testing, and techniques to identify pancreas cancer earlier. So we have a host of new treatment options and research that we can try to combat the disease.
Terrific. And so how long was your journey, shall we say, from the moment you were diagnosed to...
Yeah, so it was roughly like 11 months. You know, we started with a regiment, and to reel it back, the history of it is, you know, we had some options. We researched. I tried to separate myself from the medical field to the patient, which is really difficult.
Hard to do. Yes, I know.
Very difficult. And so, you know, we researched several institutions around the country. You know, Cedars-Sinai in L.A. and Mayo in Minnesota and Sloan Kettering in New York, MD Anderson in Houston, and the Medical College of Wisconsin here. And so we feel very fortunate that one of the best and the centers of excellence in the country for pancreatic cancer is right here in our backyard.
Wow.
And it's really, you know, trying to promote that as well. Dr. Doug Evans, a surgical oncologist and the medical oncologist and radiation oncologist and the entire team over there at the Laban Pancreatic Cancer Center, just top notch, second to none in the world.
Wow.
So we, you know, we chose Dr. Evans and his team and basically started with a chemotherapy and radiation regimen for 6 weeks and then take a break and then have the Whipple procedure, surgical procedure, and then take a break and then have, you know, 6 months of chemotherapy.
Wow. And then so after 11 months,
yep,
the tumor had been eliminated. Is that right?
Yeah. So the goal of chemotherapy and radiation off the get-go is to try to shrink that tumor. And the metastases, like I was very fortunate, didn't have any metastases anywhere in any other organs. And so, and then you have the Whipple procedure, which is an 8-hour surgery to take the head of your pancreas, your common bile duct, your gallbladder, your duodenum, and then just kind of reroute that plumbing. And I mean, the pancreas is obviously insulin dependent. And obviously helps aid in digestion. So, you know, those are challenges I think every pancreatic cancer patient has going forward for the rest of their life. But, you know, we feel very fortunate that the surgical intervention took care of the tumor.
Wow. Now, is it safe to say that because of your career and your work and athletic training and supporting medicine, that you are more proactive about your kind of condition and being able to spot it at stage one?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, going back to the point we made earlier is, you know, every day counts. And you know, if a major league player with the Brewers has an issue, we're not going to say, you know, we'll check it next week. Like, we're not doing that. We're checking it today.
Right.
We want to make sure that we can do that. You know, we'd rather be proactive than reactive.
Yeah, so it's not like the old days where guys were hiding injuries so they could keep playing.
They
tried to get out in front of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of the game has changed a little bit. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, we put the best 26 guys on the field every night and they're all available,
right,
and to do the roles that in which the organization has selected them to do.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's imperative that the medical staff, in conjunction with our strength staff and our psychological team and our performance science team, all have that same goal is to try to put the best 26 guys out there every night.
Wow. So what advice would you have for the average lay person like myself about, and especially it's predominant in men, correct?
Yeah, predominantly in men.
And so what advice would you have for being proactive about looking for signals for pancreatic cancer?
Yeah, I think, you know, there are some precursors to pancreatic cancer. You know, there's, you know, obviously smoking, having a fatty liver, which in conjunction with alcohol consumption, being overweight. Those are all some precursors. Obviously genetic coding. I don't have the gene that turns it on.
Sure.
But, you know, there are family history is a huge piece of this.
Sure.
And so, you know, we have great genetic counselors and geneticists over at the Medical College of Wisconsin that can help people with that. You know, there's several of people that I've met through pancreatic cancer awareness, PanCAN, some other entities that, you know, they've had grandparents or parents that died of pancreatic cancer, and they get genetically tested. And then every 6 or 12 months, they get a CAT scan and they see where they're at. But I think first and foremost, Don, I think you really have to listen to your own body. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know when you don't feel good. You know when you feel an optimal level. And so some people decide to push that by the wayside and continue, you know, doing their normal life. And sometimes that's too late.
Yeah. And I've just heard so many stories of and family members and close friends where they weren't going to the doctor regularly, or they kept pushing it off. And I've heard of so many stories where a doctor, a family friend would show up at a funeral and said, gosh, I told her to get a hysterectomy like 5 years ago. Or I told him to. And it's just such so many missed opportunities.
Yeah. And you know, I think that's the part of teaming up with the Cena Magowitz Foundation and creating awareness.
Could you say that again real quick, the name of the foundation?
Yeah, it's called the Cena Magowitz Foundation.
Cena Magowitz
Foundation. So Roger Magowitz, gentleman, mother, passed away in the early 2000s, started this foundation out of Phoenix. And the Cena Magowitz Foundation teams up with the Medical College of Wisconsin, also Honor Health and TGen in Phoenix, as a collaborative effort for research and patient care. Dr. Daniel Von Hoff, considered to be the medical godfather of pancreatic cancer research.
Wow.
Him and Doug Evans are very close colleagues and
trying
to combat this disease and trying to come up with new clinical trials, innovative research therapies to get research from the research table in the lab to the patient's bedside as quickly as possible.
Wow.
That's so terrific. Yeah. So we, you know, the Cena Magowitz Foundation has, you know, we have support groups online for newly diagnosed people, people that are 6 years out like myself.
Okay.
For caregivers.
Sure.
That's a huge component of this. And so trying to help direct people to the correct institutions that can get their questions answered, that can provide hope and inspiration for other patients like myself that have been through the process.
Sure. Sure. So, because I look at you, Raj, you look like a very healthy guy, and I'm assuming we're in the same age group. So, you know, especially for your age, were you as healthy 7 years ago when you were first diagnosed with pancreatic cancer?
Yeah, I can honestly say I'm probably in better shape physically and mentally after pancreatic cancer than I was before. I mean, I lost 50 pounds right off the get go.
Right.
You know, it was working 15, 16 hours a day. And just kind of plugging along, you know, baseball has a calendar.
Sure.
Obviously,
sure.
You know? Yeah. And so, I'm probably way healthier now than I was prior to pancreatic cancer.
The conversation continues with Roger Kaplinger, Milwaukee Brewers cancer survivor, and his amazing story of courage and faith, and for all that he's doing to promote awareness and raise dollars for pancreatic cancer research here in This Week in Waukesha. Plus, we have the Carol Minute coming up here on WAUK 540 AM.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show.
Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter, then tune to your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local civic media radio station and streaming on the app.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, we're back on This Week in Waukesha with my guest Roger Kaplinger and his inspiring story of survival over pancreatic cancer and what he continues to do in his advocacy. But first, the Carol Minute from here in the University City. Students, remember to check out the orange thread this semester for professional clothing, household essentials, foot and personal care products. All items in the boutique are free to Carol University students. And if for those interested in supporting the Carol thread, you can go to carol.edu/give. That's carolu.edu/give. And then again, I can't emphasize this enough that the free short-term counseling services program will end August 22nd. The university said no insurance or demonstrated financial need is required. The program is intended to offer essential mental health services to the community. Licensed psychologists and student clinicians supervised by licensed professionals in the field will deliver CCC services, the university has indicated. All aspects of the center are sponsored by the Carroll School of Education and Human Services and staffed by faculty and trainees from the behavioral health psychology program. So a wonderful service offered to the community. You can sign up through the Carroll University website, and I highly encourage everybody. I believe that good mental health is a right, and that everyone, it should be more accessible to, because we could all benefit from good mental health, no matter where we are at. And so, and speaking of health, Roger Kaplinger is my guest here, and has shared his experiences with overcoming pancreatic cancer, which, you know, many of us know that not very many people win that battle. I mean, is there a growing percentage of survivors, would you say, Roger?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when I was diagnosed in 17, the survival rate nationally was 9%. Nationally now it's 13, wow. which is inching upward.
Sure.
You know, we just had an event here, and I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Great.
This past weekend, our last weekend. And so, you know, the survival rate here, at the Medical College of Wisconsin in our program, you know, all comers coming into the program, survival rate of 5 years is 30%. Which
wow.
is almost triple the national average. So,
wow.
You know, making great strides in research, making great strides in getting that research to the patient bedside as quickly as possible, and trying to allow for education, awareness. I think that's where it starts. And then trying to get early diagnoses.
Sure, sure. You know, I'd asked you earlier about, you know, what your health was like, or, you know, because you obviously look very healthy and fit now. And if mm-hmm. you were the same, you said you've gotten better now, but you didn't really have, and it might sound like a silly question because you're in an athletic trainer and you mm-hmm. take health seriously, but you didn't really have any vices or any kind of conditions or preconditions
no.
when you had a pretty healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
And
nothing,
you were still
nothing to say of, you know, I think that, you know, we all have some times where, you know, we overindulge in certain things, sweets or
sure.
whatever. I mean, it's, you know, as an athletic trainer in the major leagues, it's, you know, you're a lot of eating on the run. You're eating in the clubhouse, which is
sure.
has really healthy food, but you know, it's never you never have a constant schedule,
right?
You know, it's either, you know, having a game at 7 PM and then turning it around and having another game at noon the next day.
Yeah.
It's a grueling schedule. You know, we all chose that line of work, but you know, it's not a 9-to-5 job and you have a routine and you have a good sleep pattern and your circadian clock is on all the time. It's just not like that. So, you know, fluctuations in weight, have a deterrent to pancreatic cancer, but I feel like the good Lord has blessed me with pancreatic cancer and we've overcome it as a team, both personally and professionally. The Brewers have been unbelievably gracious, and Mr. Antanasio and our executive leadership team have given me the platform to do this, which is awesome. And so,
that's great.
Are you still with the Brewers?
Yeah, I'm a consultant with the Brewers. Yep. So I mentor athletic trainers, mentor our medical staff, help them navigate stuff.
Wow.
You know, being in a position for the last 33 years of being an athletic trainer and then moving upstairs into a more senior leadership role, you know, there are a lot of things that come on your plate that you don't really remember that you have actually did.
Yeah.
So my colleagues will call me all the time and is like, hey, this wasn't in your exit document. How should we handle this particular issue? And
yeah.
So available to do that all the time with those guys and, you know, do some other stuff around the ballpark. You know, we have four entities that we mainly focus on is Milwaukee, Arizona. We own the Carolina Mudcats, our A-ball team.
Nice.
And then we just built a beautiful facility in the Dominican Republic.
Wow. Fantastic. Who last night or yesterday we learned in France of their first gold medal winner.
Yeah.
First medal winner, I believe, of anything from that nation.
Yeah.
So congrats there.
That was awesome.
Sure. That really, it has been. Have you enjoyed, I'm sure you've enjoyed the Olympics as an athletic trainer.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's amazing how much work and, you know, obviously, being around professional athletes my whole adult life, I think people don't understand the work that goes into to getting to the game. And then now for the Olympics, it's getting to a couple of races to qualify and then the final. Like that is an extremely difficult task.
Sure. And yet we see these young men and women from our own country and from around the world living up to it.
Yeah, I saw a 16-year-old running in one leg of the relays last night, and he, you know, it was probably a great learning experience for the young man, but he understood that there are men out there that are just head and shoulders above physically running in those races.
Yeah. You know, we kind of saw the yin and the yang last night with, we had the women's relay and, in spite of their little difficulty in the final handoff of the baton, they cleared gold. And in fact, the last runner even looked over to see it or to see where she was at, which you're not supposed to do. I remember from my days in track, but, that really was something. And then unfortunately for the men, there were some difficulty in technique that, disqualified them in the handing off of the baton. Yeah. And so you kind of saw the up and down from, that at that level, that, inches and every, you know, just nth degree perfection is an expectation, or it's just that's a way of life.
Yeah. I think everyone watching the Olympics is, you know, how can they mess up a handoff?
Right.
But, you know, you have adrenaline, you have other factors that you're competing against.
The whole world's watching you.
Right. And you're looking at other lanes and seeing where people are at and, you know, it's human nature. I mean, we can't be perfect all the time.
Yeah, that's very much true. How are we doing on time here, Max? About a minute and a half. Real quick, what dietary advice would you have for you as a way of that could prevent pancreatic cancer that you know of?
Yeah, I don't think there's a certain diet you can do to prevent it. I do think that there's, you know, high protein, carbs, less fat. I think that goes for everybody. Hydration is extremely important as well. But, you know, I also think that annual checkups, I think we put that by the wayside. I mean, those are wellness checks.
Yeah.
Those are the rapport that you have with your physician.
Sure.
That you need to inform that person of what you're doing, what you feel, your family history, all that stuff.
Great. The conversation continues with Roger Kaplinger and his successful battle over cancer and what he's doing to help save others that may face pancreatic cancer here on This Week in Workshop. Plus, Johnny's back with the second leg of the Farmer's Market Report here on WUK 540 AM.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
CBS News Brief. An Israeli airstrike hit a school that was being used as a shelter in Gaza City. CBS's Remy Innocencio tells us.
That reported death toll of more than 100 people. That makes this Israeli strike one of the worst mass casualty events in Gaza since October 7th.
Heavy rain and flooding in parts of the Northeast. This woman lost a lot when her home was flooded in Westfield, Pennsylvania.
We lost everything down back, swimming pool, kids, swing set. But our house is safe and we're safe. That's all that matters.
The remnants of Debbie will begin to diminish this evening as the storm system races into southeastern Canada. Our Chris Van Cleve with details on a deadly plane crash in Brazil yesterday.
Guaypas Airlines says there were 61 passengers and crew on flight 2283. There were no survivors. No one on the ground was hurt.
The cause of the accident is still not known. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewer bats were hot again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The crew jumped out to an early lead. Two men on base. Bottom of the first. Willy Adames at bat on Apple TV.
It's one in the air to deep right field. Fraley is back out near the wall. It's gone. Opposite field. 3-1 homer.
The crew went on to beat the Reds 8-3. A strange start to the night when the new giant $14 million scoreboard in center at AmFam Field went dark and stayed that way. Crews from the manufacturer due in Milwaukee today to try and solve the problem. NFL, the Packers play the Browns this afternoon in Cleveland. Sean Clifford is in his second season with the Pack. As Jordan Love's backup, Clifford asked if he gets nervous before these preseason games.
I think everybody gets nervous. I think they're probably lying if they ever say they do or not. And if they aren't nervous, then I always think that nerves means you care. So I always get a little nervous, but once you're out there, it's back to 11 on 11, and it's just an absolute blast.
That's Packers quarterback Sean Clifford with sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today, highs in the mid-70s, mostly clear tonight, a low around 58. Sunny with a high in the upper 70s on Sunday. 61 Sunday night, partly sunny, 78 the high for Monday. For Tuesday, sunshine with highs near 80 degrees.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Jane Matinaire and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to retired Rear Admiral Joe Seestack about Project 2025's impact on the U.S. military and the state of education in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
Matinaire on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
remember.
Hey, listen, this week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, and that's Midnight Oil with Forgotten Years, and more on that in a moment. But first, Johnny's back with the second portion of his Farmer's Market Report. Take it away, Johnny.
Good morning, Don Brown. How are you this morning?
I am great. Good to hear your voice, my good friend.
Hey, I just wanted to give you a quick check-in here, man. I'll tell you what, the produce here is fabulous. You've got everything, beets, carrots, green beans, tomatoes, cucumbers. I mean, you name it. This is all just super fresh. What a fabulous farmer's market we got queued up here today. And the leadership at Civic Media has done this great wheel that you spin to win kind of thing. There's a little kid in there right now spinning the wheel. I just gave away a $40 gift certificate for the Delafield Brewhouse.
Nice.
There's lots of great things you can win here. T-shirts, People's Park gift certificates, Sal's Pizza, just to name a few.
Sal's Famous.
So please stop on down and say hi to myself and David right next to the Waukesha State Park on the beautiful Fox River in Waukesha. This is such a great event. You can see all these wonderful vendors with all their fresh produce. And if you're in the doghouse a little bit, there's flowers galore. I mean, it's just a fabulous morning here. Back to you, Don.
Hey, thanks so much, Johnny. Johnny Watermelon, or as I affectionately call John Cougar Watermelon. Helping David out there at the farmer's market. And I should be joining them after my show and giving Johnny a little break here and catching up with any of you out there. And if you have a story to tell, come see me at the booth. We'd love to hear more about it. So many great stories here in the city and in the county. And like the story I'm helping share today with Roger Kaplinger and his amazing story. And so where we left off, I know we were talking about diet. And then what about exercise? Would that have any, I mean, obviously it would seem obvious, but.
Yeah, I think everybody needs some healthy exercise, whether it's walking, biking, working out, weight training, all essentials to keeping yourself in good, healthy condition based upon your physician's recommendations and how you can go about that to properly dose exercise for yourself.
Terrific. And so. Again, you credit a lot of your success with the fact that, you know, because you work in this space, that you followed the proper protocols and were able to get a stage one diagnosis, which essentially saved your life. Is that fair to say?
Well, yeah, I definitely think, you know, not ignoring symptoms, getting things tested.
Sure.
Obviously, there's some test anxiety, right?
Yeah.
You're anxious to go into tubes and MRIs and other things, but there's also that anxiety afterwards of not knowing results and finding out results that may not be favorable, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so those are things, you know, psychologists and mental health experts can help you navigate. We certainly have those in our program. And so.
Sure. You know, and I wanted to ask, because you mentioned that the failure rates are still very high. Although this here in Milwaukee, though, we have a 30%. We're three times the national average.
Yeah.
Of the people that, you know, that I guess you'd say that 90% nationally, what percentage of those are people that have been diagnosed at stage three or four?
I would say the vast majority of those people are.
So, and then conversely of that 9-10% success rate that you are part of, what percentage of those people were captured at stage one or two, their diagnosis?
Yeah, I think the majority of those people are. I mean, there is hope for stage three, two, three, fours. You know, there's two types of pancreas tumors, adenocarcinoma and neoendocrine.
Okay.
Neoendocrine are very rare, but very hard to treat.
Sure.
Mine, adenocarcinoma.
Okay.
The majority of people have those. And, you know, there are several agents that you can use, you know, radiation therapy, targeted radiation. There's a whole host of chemotherapy agents that we can use. Now we have things of immunotherapy that we can use. And then, you know, some people are able to have a surgical intervention, and there are some people that are not able to have surgical interventions here. So, those are people that, you know, try to, and their physicians and their team guide them with chemotherapy or immunotherapy agents.
Okay, thanks. Hey, I want to take just a quick pause from this very important discussion with Roger Kaplinger, pancreatic cancer survivor and advocate, that and
Thanks. James Santel, my resident counsel here in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, has just stepped in preparing for his upcoming show, Amicus, a Law Review, as I effectively call Atticus, because he embodies that spirit of Atticus Finch. Jim's reminded me that, and I talked about this in the first hour, with the election we have coming up Tuesday, there's two very important referendums, and I strongly recommend you vote no on both. And why? Because we know how frustrating it is when both parties fight over the budget. And here in this state, they've been sitting on billions of dollars of our money for years because they can't agree on how to spend it. Money that could go towards our roads, our schools, our police, our economic, our health, as Roger would attest to. And meanwhile, federal emergency funds come in. The governor can send that money where it needs to go. And you think of all those people out in the Southeast. If this second referendum passes, that would go to the legislature. And think about the delay for those families that desperately need emergency aid in where that hurricane has gone through in the Southeast. And so that's why you should vote no on the second. And on the first, it means, it means that the legislature screwed up and they can't do anything about it. It takes a lot of that out of really the hands of us in terms of decision making on where our funds should go. So please vote no on both. So, and back here with Roger, how helpful would you say it our government, state and federal have been in terms of, or even the local level in terms of supporting cancer research and better health?
Yeah, I think they've done a decent job. I mean, there's a lot of federal funding for NIH and R01 grants in the US, but obviously that's not enough. And that's why we've teamed up with the Cena Magwitz Foundation. We had an event this past weekend here in Milwaukee, had over 90 surviving pancreatic cancer patients. We had 320 guests and people on the field having dinner. We had the Milwaukee Art Museum as a meet and greet on last Friday night. So
terrific.
There's a lot of good things happening in the pancreatic cancer world with research. But those, obviously those need funding and we're trying to, in teaming up with the Magwitz Foundation, as well as the Medical College of Wisconsin, trying to raise funds for the pancreatic cancer program to obviously we're going in the right direction.
Right.
With the triple the survival rate, here in Milwaukee. So we feel like, the needle is moving upward. And so we need to continue to raise funds to fund our research.
So let's say someone's listening right now, Roger, and they want to make a contribution. Is there a way, a website they can go to where they can just go ahead and click a button and put in their details? And
yeah. So you can go to the Cena Magwitz Foundation.
And how do you spell Cena?
S-E-E-N-A.
S as in Sam, E as in Ed, E as in Ed, N as in Nancy, A. Magwitz.
Magwitz, foundation.org.
Okay. CenaMagwitzFoundation.org.
Yeah. So if there's a lot, I mean, we met some people here from Miami last weekend.
Nice.
They went, Googled pancreatic cancer, and one of the sites that came up was the Cena Magwitz Foundation. And so
that's great.
Yeah.
SEO's working. Yeah.
It's great. And, that's the good thing about the internet.
Yes. Yes.
And the conversely of the internet is you see low survival rates when you first get diagnosed. And you need a quarterback and you need a plan. And they just came to Milwaukee and it was like, we need help. Wow. And, we pointed them in the right direction. Dr. Doug Evans, who was all of our heroes in pancreatic cancer, was like, I'll see you on Tuesday morning. And they stayed over. They now have a plan. Now they have a quarterback. They can be able to do some treatment back home in Miami, and then continue to collaborate with Dr. Evans here. And so those are the connecting points that the Magwitz Foundation has done for pancreatic cancer patients, along with the support groups, along with, our event here in Milwaukee. The totals aren't in yet, but, 100% of the proceeds are going to the Medical College of Wisconsin and the Lebon Pancreatic Cancer Program.
Wow, that's amazing. It's great to hear of such progress against something that, again, has been a losing battle for so many Americans, especially, primarily men.
Correct.
Yeah, so... Are there any other upcoming events like third-party fundraisers or anything that we can promote for?
Yeah, so, we're teaming up with a local place in Phoenix, Babos Italian Eatery.
Nice.
Their father passed away of pancreatic cancer, so they have a one day of giving. And Ken loved baseball, He was a baseball card collector. They own 8 restaurants in the Phoenix Scottsdale area, and so it's called Baseball for Babos. We're teaming up with them. You know, since I'm in baseball, we have some friends of ours that can help that to sign autographs, to auction off baseballs or other baseball memorabilia. So it's fun. Last year they raised $180,000 in one day, okay, which is great. And yeah, that directly went to pancreatic cancer research.
That's great. Terrific. So, well, I know we have plenty. We still have some time here, but yeah, we'll definitely have to plan you. Have you come on earlier next year to promote your upcoming, because this was essentially a gala, the one we had last Friday.
Yeah. So we teamed up with Doug Evans in the medical college. So he had like six of the leading experts in pancreatic cancer, and had a little mini symposium on Friday.
Nice.
We had a reception at the Milwaukee Art Museum, and then Saturday we had some roundtable discussions with patients and physicians.
So it was like a whole weekend.
Yeah. And then Saturday night we had dinner on the diamond, which we ate dinner on the field,
and
on
AmFam.
The infield. Wow. On AmFam. Mr. Antanasio and our executive leadership were very gracious, letting us have the field to have this great event. And, you know, we had silent auction items. We had live auction items.
Sure.
And hopefully raised a lot of money for that. And then Sunday we had a farewell breakfast for all the pancreatic cancer survivors and their caregivers. And so it was a great, fun-filled, packed weekend of a lot of inspiration, a lot of hope, a lot of connections we made with each other. You know, we're usually looking at people on Zoom, and now we can actually meet them in person, which was great.
Sure, that's terrific. 3 minutes, Max? Okay. So I think it's neat because usually, you know, and a lot goes into planning a gala, but it's a one-night event, and maybe there isn't as much time for the more serious discussions. And you followed it up with like sort of a conference type of concept, as well as even more kind of hospitality and some commemorations, and very thoughtful, and just a great way to really build that community of support.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been planning this for over a year and trying. We had one here last year as well. The year before we had it in Phoenix. But the Magwitz Foundation and the Medical College and the Brewers have been very good of collaborating with each other. And we wanted to make it not just, hey, we all putting on our A-game outfits for a gala, and we all know it's raising money, but we also want to promote awareness. We also want to promote inspiration and hope to patients that are continuing to go through treatment.
Yes.
They're not done yet.
Right.
And so in my remarks that I had, you know, I want more people like me, right?
Yeah.
I want to treat this somewhat as, if we can get to that point, as just a chronic disease like asthma or something else. Like, we want to get to that point.
Sure. That's terrific. Hey, and so y'all know that this, you can catch a recording of this show, if you want to tell us about it, on my podcast page. And I thought of that because my podcast page, there's on a previous show back in July, we had Bob Habish call in on the 25th anniversary of the terrible tragedy during the building of what was then Miller Park that killed 3 iron workers. And there was really some revealing information about that Bob shared, and obviously some of the good things that came about it with safer working conditions for stadiums and big projects around the country. And it was a real honor to have Bob calling in. And so you can catch this interview, you can recap it on the podcast page, and I'll be sure to share that with you, Roger. And when we this conversation continues, including what we can do maybe locally to be better advocates in diagnosing pancreatic cancer sooner, what we can do to continue to prove our health. Again, I'm looking at a very healthy man who was a very healthy man 7 years ago when he was diagnosed with it. And so very just hard to believe. And I heard that so many times in the whole kind of cancer culture that I grew up in, just very healthy people that, you know, anyway, we'll be back here in WEK 540 AM with Roger Kaplinger on This Week in Waukesha.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I've got some wonky terminology, so bear with me.
I'm talking about credit utilization and how that affects your credit score. Credit utilization just means how much of your credit you're using. So let's say you have a $10,000 limit on your credit card. Now, lots of us think it's okay to spend up to that $10,000 every month as long as you pay it off in full at the end of the month. Well, it turns out the credit bureaus, these agencies that assign us our credit scores, they only want us to use maybe 10, 20, or maximum 30% of our credit limit each month, like $1,000 to $2,000 to $3,000 tops if you've got $10,000 in credit. And your credit utilization counts for 30% of your total credit score. I don't love the rules, but knowing them helps us manage our credit scores the way we want to. For more about credit scores or just about getting good at money, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha, and that's my good friend Todd Rundgren in Utopia with One World, one of my favorite songs that I first heard in high school. One of the advantages of having older brothers and sisters and being exposed to so much great music. I was talking to Roger Kaplinger, my guest, pancreatic cancer survivor, longtime medical director, and as a senior consultant currently with the Milwaukee Brewers. And you don't travel with the team anymore. But you do have the option of going if and LA asked because of the success they're having this year under new manager Pat Murphy. And also, would their success be an opportunity to capitalize on to promote your journey and what you're doing with the Cena Magowitz Foundation and Medical College of Wisconsin and all the other players on this growing team to promote pancreatic cancer awareness? Is it? I'm sure the Brewers would be all over that, I would think, in terms of promoting that in conjunction with the Brewers if they see postseason play and all the like.
Yeah, I think, you know, Mr. Antanasio and our executive leadership team have been extremely gracious in allowing me to have this platform. You know, it's really important to me that and my family that we continue to promote this, continue to educate our community. You know, we have the ability as an organization, you know, we're a family at the Brewers. It's just not something that we put on a piece of paper. We actually do that. We all care about each other. And we have an extremely powerful workforce with the Milwaukee Brewers. And, you know, we've done a few interviews with local TV stations at the ballpark. The Brewers have been extremely helpful in sure. getting the word out, telling our story. Telling the story of pancreatic cancer awareness, promoting the Medical College of Wisconsin, and in conjunction with the Cena Magowitz Foundation is the partnership here.
Sure, sure. Well, because again, I look at a gentleman who's very healthy, looks much younger than me. I'm guessing you might have a few years on me, and I kind of wish this was being televised so people could see you, that this could happen to anybody, tragically, and that... And people should be paying attention to your efforts and maybe learning and contributing to, as you said, making this a much more treatable disease.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, diving into your own family history is very, very important. We have great genetic counselors at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and there are people that we talk to all the time on our support groups is, oh, I didn't realize doing some ancestry really quick that, you know, my grandfather or my uncle had pancreatic cancer, and then oh my gosh, there's another person in my family that had it. And so those are things to get ahead of, not just listening to your own body, that's important as well, but looking at family history is very, very important. And we know now, and we're a lot smarter, and technology is where it is today, that we can actually pick out some of these genetic deficiencies, and then how do we put you on a watch list and continue to monitor sure. you for this.
Yeah.
That's how you get ahead.
Sure. Is there an age range that this become that becomes?
Yeah, I think it's not really identifiable right now. There are people that we've had on our Cena Magowitz Foundation support groups, and they're in their late 30s, and then there's some people that get it when they're in their 90s, right? Sure.
Like my father. Yeah.
Correct. And so You know, I was 50 at the time, and you know, I just don't think it has an age discrimination part of it, but
sure.
I do think that we can have factors that can weigh in on you know, certain aspects of your health and certain aspects of your family history that can help us do that.
Sure.
And I think, you know, some of the outcome studies are skewed a little bit.
Right.
Because maybe in your father's case, that you're in your 90s, you just don't want to treat and you just want to let it ride. You know, those are the cases that come into the percentages.
Sure.
And then there's cases like mine where it's I'm 50 and I'm going to treat it to the nth degree. 50
to 30.
You know, right. Like, so, you know, those are things that we can try to promote advocacy for.
That's terrific. What in we haven't talked about it too much, but it sounds like you had, in addition to the Brewers being your family, also your immediate family and extended family, you had a tremendous amount of support during your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think anytime you build a team, right, whether it's at the Brewers or your own personal, you have to have really good talent, and you have to retain talent, and you have to educate talent. And so, you know, my wife Jackie is the rock of our family. She's unbelievable. I would not be here today without her. You know, when you go to the hospital and you get chemo or radiation, you know, they're with you for a while, and then all of a sudden you're at home, and
sure.
It's really hard to take care of yourself
yes.
when you're in those conditions, right?
Yes.
And so my wife Jackie is unbelievable, and you know, still to this day, she's super conscious about how I eat, what I eat, what I can eat.
Sure.
There's gigantic dietary
sure.
Restrictions after pancreatic cancer and the Whipple sure. procedure. And
yeah.
so, you know, our sons, Kyle and Brett, always there by my side, always pushing me. They, you know, Brett was in high school when I was doing this, and
yeah.
Our son Kyle was in college. So, you know, those, that's challenging.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. Real quick, I want to give a big shout out to my friend and neighbor who's recently been diagnosed with throat cancer. Unfortunately, it looks like they've caught it early, and he's going through a 7-week treatment and feels pretty good. Just letting him know that we're all out there for him. And but returning here too is that we got our, you know, the oldest university in the state, Earth Carroll. They got a wonderful nursing program. Advice for these nursing and different, you know, program college programs on where there could be a smart focus on pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, I do think that it's obviously if you go into nursing or some type of healthcare, you really want to be a provider to people, and the pancreatic cancer, it used to be like that's a dead end,
sure,
and now it's not a dead end anymore.
Right.
It's very exciting for the researchers and the scientists. We have a couple people. We have one, Nikki Lytle, who's a PhD at the medical college, very young, inspiring, always looking for cutting edge instances to try to get ahead of this disease, trying new and innovative treatments from the lab to the patient's bedside. And that's what we need to get. You know, clinical trials are great. I was involved in several clinical trials, but sometimes those take years
sure.
to develop. We need to get those to the bedside faster.
Sounds great. Roger Kaplinger of the Milwaukee Brewers, pancreatic cancer survivor and champion advocate. Thanks for joining us today. We have to have you back soon. Please, everyone, enjoy this Saturday. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, so is good mental health. James Centell is next with Atticus. Yes, more on Roger Kaplinger hopefully soon. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. Go Ramil Mahagov Galer, and see ya!
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Pete Schwabba.
I'm on vacation this week, so for tonight's episode, we will bring you some of my favorite moments from previous Nightlight episodes. I'll be back and ready to light it up again on August 19th.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.